sing it out.
Change the leper's spots.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as stand in incomplete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Worship the Savior this morning. Worship the Savior who has paid our debt today.
Sin had
Come on, let's celebrate the King this morning. Come on, let's give him all the glory this morning. So blessed to be able to stand up here and be able to lead worship, especially on Resurrection Sunday, when you think of the debt that was paid. In fact, Jesus even says the word to tell us that. And I don't know if anybody knew this. I just learned this recently. That was an accounting term, meaning that the debt is paid in full. Come on. I mean, can we not celebrate this morning that our debt was paid in full? And Jesus paid it all. We were washed white as snow. He did all that on that rugged cross, a place of torture, a place of torment. It was so bad that the Roman citizens wouldn't even subject their own worst citizens to that. But yet, our Savior hung on that cross for our sins so that each and every single one of us could know Him today. So let's just continue to pour out our praise for Him this morning.
Lifted high.
Come on, praise the Lord this morning. Come on, let's celebrate the risen Savior today. Amen, amen.
Boy, if the preaching's half what the singing is, we'll be doing okay this morning. Amen. I've titled this sermon with a question as we get started. What did Jesus ever do for me? And if you've ever wondered that, I'm glad that you've wondered it. And today, at the end of this, I hope you'll see that we will answer it. Now, will we cover everything that Jesus has done for us? Absolutely not. That would take a long time. Y'all would be some very angry individuals. You'd be hungry by the time I got through that sermon. But today, we're going to look at four things specifically that Jesus has done for you and he's done for me. And I think what has motivated me to do this is because I'm here lately just has been on my heart, and I've been seeing in my own life, is we are very selfish creatures. I mean, I'm going to call it a theory. It's beyond a hypothesis. We were born that way. Never taught my kids how to say mine, but they're all very aware how to say it, and were at a very young age able to tell me that. Recently, you know that I create quite a bit of content, and as part of that, did you know that all of your data, I can see it? I can see your habits. I can see how long you watch something. I can see all that. So I look at all that. Why? Because I want more people to see it. I want God to go further. I want all those things. And so I look at that. Most of you guys will give about 3 seconds. When you watch a reel or you see a picture, well, you give 3 seconds, and then guess what you do? You answer a question in your brain. What's in this for me? And then if that is not answered appropriately, you do this. What is that? Swipe. On to the next thing, right? That's what we do. This morning, I'm begging you. One thing. Don't swipe. Stay with me. Stay with me. I think you'll be happy that you did. Stay with me this morning. I don't think that we understand the fullness of the gift that Jesus has given us. The magnitude of it cannot be measured. Let's look to the Bible to see what he's done. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. And here's my vision. One of two things I hope happens in here in the lives of you this morning. Number one, if you're a believer, if you came in here believing in Jesus Christ this morning, I hope you walk away with a greater appreciation for what he has done than you had when you came in here. So a greater appreciation for the believers. Number two, for the non-believers, for those that have not professed Christ, they don't follow Christ, they don't have a relationship with Christ, not mad at you, so happy you're here, you are prayed for. I have a huge heart for you. But this morning, I hope before you leave, you ask for what you don't have. I hope you ask for what Jesus has done for you. I hope you ask for his forgiveness. I hope you ask for a relationship with him. I hope you ask for life that's available today, that's available no other way. And I hope you ask for the hope of eternal life after this life. That's my hope. You see, I think this morning that you're here, everybody, every person here is here for a bigger reason than a picture out there with our cross. Cross is pretty. Makes for good pictures. This will be the third year I'll have one in front of it. But there's more. There's more. Let's talk about what's more. The first thing we will look at that Jesus did for us is he endured betrayal. Now, this is a scripture-heavy sermon. So I want you to read along with me, because we're just going to God's Word, and I just want you to see it. Don't take it from me. Take it from God's Word. We're going to have it on the screen, or you can look in your own copy, but here we go. John 18, 1 through 5, he, Jesus, endured betrayal. When Jesus, there in verse 1, had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Verse 3, Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, the ones who wanted to kill Jesus, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, it was no surprise, went forth and said to them, "Who do you seek?" And they answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." And he said to them, "I am he." No denying it, no escaping it. I am he. I am the one that you seek. And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. It was not a secret. It was not a surprise. And guess what Jesus did? Even though he knew he would be betrayed, when he got to that garden in the darkness, he still went. You know who he went for? For you. And you know who else he went for? For me. Jesus willingly faces betrayal because redeeming sinners is more important to him than avoiding physical pain. Jesus was in the business of redeeming sinners, and I'm one of them. Jesus knew that he had to stay the course so that you and I could have forgiveness, because apart from his perfect atonement on the cross, it's not available. He had to stay the course so that it would be available through belief and confession, and that he did. So have you ever endured a horrible person or a situation because somebody else mattered more than you going through that situation? Most parents in here probably have. You've gone through something you definitely didn't want to go through because you didn't want your kids to go through it. So basically, you laid yourself down in protection of them. Now, we take whatever you've gone through, whatever miserable situation that you may have experienced, and we're going to 100x, 100,000x, 1 million x that situation, and we're going to get close, but not yet there. We're going to get close to what Jesus did for you and I. Please see that Jesus really wanted you to trust in him. Please see that he really loved you beyond anything we can comprehend. Please see that his love for you had a cost, a great cost, and that you were worth it. You were worth that cost. Jesus endured betrayal for you. What did Jesus ever do for me? The second thing, he endured beating. This is hard for me to read. But I tell you what, you need to read it with some seriousness this morning. John 19, 1 through 3. Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And to give him slaps in the face. I do not like getting slapped in the face. Do you? What does it cause you to do when you get slapped in the face? Does it make you want to give kisses to the person who just slapped you in the face? No, it makes you angry and you want to retaliate and you want to go forth. Jesus had all the power in the world and sat there and took it. Do you know what scourging is? Scourging is a Roman custom of beating criminals with a whip, with a lash, and with a flog. And that's what he endured for you and I. He was whipped. He was flogged. The Son of God was bruised. He was mocked. He was crowned with thorns. Why did they put a purple robe on him? To celebrate him? They put the purple robe on him to make fun of him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. These aren't the greenbriars that are growing around our South today. They're bad enough if you ain't walked through them in a little while. But the thorns that were pushed down into Jesus' head were much more like these. How's that for a crown? How's that for treating the Son of God? Guess what he endured that for? For you. I need to be the one wearing that. Jesus was humiliated so we could be healed. Isaiah 53:5, and by his scourging we are healed. That was the prediction of the Messiah that he was. So the punishment that should have fallen upon us fell upon Jesus. As I said last week, the last person, the very last person that should have been nailed to that cross was Jesus. But it was him. I should have been up there. You should have been up there. We deserved it. He didn't deserve it, but he did it as a substitutionary atonement for you and I, for every person who will place their faith in him for doing it. That's who he did it for. You know, we're all guilty of pointing fingers. This is a lesson I'll have to teach one person in here. Y'all all know. Some of y'all are smirking. You know it? You done it. You know it, right? Everybody knows. Why do we point fingers? And how early did you learn it? He knows how to do it. He's a young man. Why do we point fingers? Because we want to identify the person who is really guilty. It's them. They did it. Why? We don't want the punishment that they will be getting for what they just did. So we point fingers, identify them, and let them know. Jesus didn't point any fingers. Jesus took it. He took the punishment that I deserved. He didn't say, Philip's guilty. He didn't believe. He did this. He did that. He did all those sins. Look at him. He's the one that put him up on the cross. He said, no, I'm going to give him grace, I'm going to give him mercy, and I'm going to get up there in his place. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. Jesus endured all that without saying a word. So if you come in here today a non-believer, are you tired of carrying the weight of your sin and condemnation? I know you're carrying it. I know you feel it. Now, thankfully, I haven't felt that in a while, but I still remember it. I remember carrying all the weight of my sins and everything's my iniquities, the things that I'd done, all the satisfaction of the flesh that I had done. Are you this morning tired of carrying that around? It'll make your back hurt. It'll make your shoulders slump. Physically, I don't know how you've endured it. Today, all that can go away. The whole load can be lifted off through placing your faith in Jesus Christ and asking him to take all the sins, every iniquity away. It's available today. For believers, unfortunately, we have the ability. I know I've done this and I do this and I'm tempted to do it more often than I probably do. See, sometimes as believers, we're still going to sin, right? We all agree with that. Once you believe and you're a Christian, that doesn't mean you never sin again. You still sin, but you have forgiveness, you have understanding. But see, if today you may be a believer and come in here and you've picked up your sin again. You're starting to wear that sin. You're starting to try to bear that burden because the devil's told you that's what you need to do. Today's a very good day to be reminded of what Jesus has done and lay that sin down. Lay that sin down at the foot of the cross. Lay that sin down at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm not carrying this no more. I'm going to confess it to you. I ask that you forgive me and let's just be done with it. That's available today too for believers. Hebrews 8:12 says this, for I will be merciful to their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. Some of you need that today. Jesus endured beating for you. The third thing Jesus did is he endured burial. Let's look to John 19:38 through 42. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for the fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he may take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate granted him permission. So he came and he took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to Jesus him by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. So the body of Jesus, God in flesh, lay lifeless in a tomb. But even in death, God was at work. What looked like defeat was setting the stage for victory. I thought about this morning. What do y'all think the devil was doing when they rolled a stone across the mouth of that grave? Got him. Got him. I did it. I talked him into it. I win. This is mine. I have the victory. All their hope, everything they had, is in their dead in darkness. And now this whole world is mine. Now that's just my imagination, but I think that's probably pretty close to how it went. He has convinced y'all, some of y'all, the same thing, I bet. He has sealed it up and said, I'm the victor over your life. There's no hope for you. You need to stay in darkness. Jesus can't help you. You've outsinned him. You've outdone it. That's a lie. Amen. Here's the truth. Two strong truths. 1 Corinthians 15:54 through 57. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But, that means you can negate everything before it. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:24, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. See, the devil thought he could hold him. Oh, no. Oh, there was a surprise coming. See, Jesus had taught this. He taught that a seed must be buried before it can bloom. He wasn't surprised by the devil. You think that caught him off guard? John 12, 24 and 25, truly, truly, this is Jesus speaking. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. So Jesus willingly died so that we could have the fruits of righteousness and eternal life. That's why he died. So if you feel completely fruitless this morning, I want you to answer one question. If you feel no fruit, life has no color, just hopelessness, you see no good, here's the question I have for you. Have you died to yourself? And if you haven't, if you're still sitting on the throne of your life, with your crown, and you're ruling it, and you're not seeing any fruit, that's why. Because you got the wrong person on the throne. You need to get up and ask the king to sit on the throne. Then you can have fruits of righteousness, because we have to have his fruits of righteousness. We have none of our own. There's nothing we can do to get them. So at the end of the day, have you given your life to Jesus? And if you say, well, I think I have. See, I have a very grave concern about our Bible Belt South. See, everybody's a Christian down here. We all a bunch of Christians in Alabama, especially in Blount County, especially in Hayden. No, we ain't. Christian has given their life to Jesus Christ. You should be able to tell me, not the second, not the minute, not the hour. I don't care about all that. I don't care about all that. But you should be able to take me back to the time when the Holy Spirit made you realize, helped you to understand that you are a sinner in need of salvation, and that there's only one way to get it, and it's through Jesus Christ and His blood on the cross. And you realized that, and you wanted that, and you called out for that. It could be a simple prayer, a childlike prayer. I don't care about you don't have to have a theology degree to pray to have salvation, but you should have a moment where you realize that, and you were broken over your sinfulness, and you asked Jesus Christ, say, Jesus, save my soul. Forgive me of my sins. If you don't have that moment, I cannot tell you that you're not saved. I will not tell you that you're not saved. But if you don't have a moment where you and Jesus did business through prayer in your heart, I am scared that you're not. But today you can be. Still available today. For those who attend pretty regularly, I wear this verse out because it's my favorite two verses in the Bible. And I'm going to say them again. Because here's how simple it can be for you this morning if you don't have that experience that I just detailed or something like it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Confess means to speak it. To speak it. To proclaim it. To confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Lord means King, Savior, the highest. Not teacher, good person, man that lived one day. There's a big difference between those two things. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, exactly what we're celebrating today. You will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So if you want to get saved today, if you want to have the hope of eternal life today and the gift of the Holy Spirit today, that's what you need to do. You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord through prayer to Him, and you need to believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. I hope that you believe that and that's why you're here, but that wasn't a requirement for you to come through the door, but that's why we're here, celebrating that God raised Him from the dead. And believers, there's something here for us. If you're trying, if the devil, and trust me, if you can trust anybody, you can trust me. The devil is so good, and my flesh is so good at trying to pull me back into the world and start living for the world and get in there and mix it up with all those shiny things that are so good that the world tries to tell. If that's you and you have joined the world again and you're trying to find happiness and joy in the world again, today's a good day to repent and get back to Jesus Christ and get back to the life that He gave you and made possible. Jesus endured burial for you. All right, here we go. There's one more thing Jesus did for us, and we'll see it through an encounter with Thomas. Thomas, some people call him Thomas the Doubter. The thing is, Jesus endured lack of belief. This is a little bit lengthy. Read it with me. You'll be glad you did. John 20, 24 through 29. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This is after His resurrection, the 40 days that He walked the earth after that. So the other disciples were saying to Him, "We've seen the Lord." But He said to them, "Hey, a little skeptic." So Thomas was a bit of a skeptic. I'm kind of a skeptic, so I resonate with Thomas. Thomas says, "Unless I see His hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into His side, I will not believe." But this is a guy that walked with Jesus for some years, like hung out with Him, saw the miracles. And this is where he's at. I've got to stick my finger in the nail holes and I've got to shove my hand where they shoved the spear and the blood and the water came out while He was on the cross. Yeah, that's Thomas. That's what he just said. After 8 days, His disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then He said to Thomas, I could just see Thomas going, "Oh no. Oh no." I hope he didn't hear me saying about the nail thing. And I really hope he didn't bring up the spear thing. I can't believe he's here. I can now. And then let's see what happens. Did Jesus remember? Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger. See my hands. And while you're at it, reach here with your hand and put it in my side. And do not be unbelieving, but be believing. Thomas answered. And now this is what, if I could have a wish today. If I could have a wish today, this is what I wish every single person before they walked out this door would be able to repeat this phrase with all of their heart and all of their might. That's my heart for you today. Listen to how Thomas responds. The previously disbelieving Thomas, this is what he says. My Lord and my God. That's a lot different than show me the nail prints. That's a lot different than show me where they put the sword or the spear into his side. That's a confession and a belief. My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. So Jesus is patient and merciful. Amen? Amen. Anybody ever experienced that in their own life? He has been so patient, so merciful, so filled with grace in my life that I could never testify to the fullness of it. But he's not going to endure lack of belief forever. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus will not endure lack of belief forever. On that day, one day, the clouds will roll back, time will be up, and believers will be separated from unbelievers forever. The question will not be on that day, what has Jesus done for me? That ain't going to be the question that day. On that day, it's going to be every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. On that day, the question will be asked to you. You will not be asking Jesus. Jesus will be asking you, what did you do with me? And then you'll give an account of that. Because today, ladies and gentlemen, you're all aware of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. You're all aware of how to receive the gospel, to receive life, to receive eternal life. And I hope and pray that one day, I'll never know about it because there'll be no anguish for me in heaven because I'm going to hold on to that promise. I've made it right with Jesus Christ. But I hope that you don't have to hear the words, well, that day, Easter 2026, you went down to Blount Springs and you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you didn't do nothing with it. I hope you never have to hear that. But I know there's one way that you'll never have to worry about it. Make a decision for Jesus Christ today, and you never have to hear that ever. Jesus, for believers, here's our hope. Blessed, and this is what Jesus said, blessed are they who did not see and yet believe. That's me and that's you. I didn't see the physical form, the physical body of Jesus, and neither did you. But Jesus said, blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. And that's me because I do believe even though I didn't see. So for us, we can celebrate what Jesus endured for us. And actually, and here's another thing we can do. We can live like we believe it. And live like we appreciate what He did for us on the cross. And how do we do that? How can you live like you appreciated it? Just read how He lived, how He thought, how He spoke, and ask the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you to give you the strength and the power to live that way. That's how you can do it. He set an example. It's all written down too. For non-believers, my prayer is that you believe and receive the free gift of God today, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't want you to wait to see, to believe. See, it's the opposite. So you believe and then God gives you the eyes to see. John 14, 1 through 3, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's possible today. What did Jesus ever do for me? Team, worship team, y'all can come on back up. What did Jesus ever do for me? Well, here's a couple of things. He paid a price he didn't owe out of a pure love for us so that we can have true life in this world today, so that we can have hope of life after we die, so that we can experience eternity with Him and a place that He has specially prepared for those who believe in Him. I hope that I've been clear. I don't know what the needs are today from you guys. I'm sure that I know there are some needs. The altar's open to come and pray. If you need to lay something down at the feet of Jesus at the foot of the cross, the altar's open. You can do that. People will meet you here and pray with you. If you just need to speak to somebody, you're confused, you're not sure what to do, just know that I'll be down front and I'm happy to speak to anybody about anything this morning. But most of all, I encourage you to respond to however the Holy Spirit is talking to you. I think He's clear. When He's talking to me, He's real clear. I just ask this morning, don't avoid Him. Don't say, well, I'm going to go eat lunch and next Sunday I'll come back and I'll do that. No, you don't know if next Sunday I'm going to be here or not. All you got is right now, the present. And I encourage you to do whatever the Holy Spirit is leading you to do right now. In the house of God. If you would, please stand as we sing our last song of worship.